any legal, unreported, and unregulated issues taking place. The Navy has assisted with about 6 patrols, 2 of which were cut short due to technical problems on the South African Navy vessels, and the remainder of the patrols were also very short. As I said, media expensive patrols, they run for sometimes up to a month. The other issue is that neither the Chief Director of Fisheries Research and Development or the Monitoring Control Surveillance targets, not all the targets will be met for the financial year. The way forward, Chair, that has completed a recruitment and selection process for all the personnel required for the research fleet, and we're also doing that at the moment for the fishery detection vessels, and we are now moving ahead with the tender process for the outsourcing of the vessel management of the fleet. The DG recently approved that. We are also proposing that an emergency approval be granted to obtain a service provider in the meantime to get the Afrikaner operational as soon as possible, and we discussed that with the South African Navy last Friday. And in keeping with the support we received from the committee last November, we will also apply for an MTF allocation to replace FRS Afrikaner within the next 3 years. Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just add, it does sound very, very sad when one hears that the conditions of class has expired, and it costed such a lot of money to get them back into class. But I studied all the audits of all the vessels, and it's true that some of these surveys that should have been done, if you take the Afrikaner, for example, during 2012, but those surveys couldn't be done because, well, the vessel was not repaired and not properly maintained. But other than that, most of these certifications and class service in order to get them in class are only falling due in 2014, 2015, 2016. So not many of those surveys that were not could not be done, so to speak. But in terms of the action plan that they've come up with, we have met with the Navy on Friday and said, look, we understand you have struggled to manage our vessel together with yours, and our vessels are a lot. They're very big vessels. And we are taking them back, but we're taking them back in phases because we can't simply take them all. So the Afrikaner we are taking back, and I think it's the Sarah Bartman. It's the Sarah Bartman, which is our big patrol one, Afrikaner, the big research one. We are taking them back, and we're using Portnet's berthing space, and we are bringing in the original companies who made them, using the emergency supply chain procedures in the Public Finance Management Act. So they can be repaired and they can be surveyed and brought into class, but we are raising against time. In other words, we have given ourselves only, say, 3 months to get it all done and up and running. And we do have to go to the fishing industry and ask for assistance in terms of, because it's not enough just to repair them and get them sailing. You also need the crew, because we've got our own research crew and we've got our own patrol crew, but we don't have a normal day-to-day, what do you call it, like manning crew, so to speak. And all the supplies, you know, security supplies, food supplies, all the things that a vessel needs to have a normal day-to-day kind of operation. So we will go to the fishing industry for that. These vessels are in their interest. They belong to the state. They are paid for by the state, not paid for by the levies. Even when we go out and we charter private vehicles to do the service, it's not paid for. Some of it is paid for from the levy, but the taxpayer puts most of the bill, and it's all within our budget, especially because we made a huge saving, although not by intention, with the Navy, because of their supply chain procedures, couldn't get repairs done in time. There was a saving. So most of that, getting these vessels back into class, there is funds for that. So we will get some of it rolled over, and I think we will cope with this emergency plan that we have. The other thing I just want to mention is that, you know, because there's been such negative publicity, and which is fine, the public has the right to know what is going on, what we are struggling with, whether it's us, you know, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, or the African Navy, but they also need to know the truth, the absolute facts. And it's sad when we have individuals who talk to the media and deliberately give half of the story and withhold the other half, or lie to the public. And, you know, the article which was in the City Press, I cried after I read it. I couldn't believe that highly responsible people, like some of our politicians and like some of the people in the fishing industry, well, not in the actual fishing industry, but claim to be associated with the fishing industry, say that everything is falling down. That's not true. And it ruins the morale of the ordinary staff in the department who are highly successful in everything that they do. And it's huge sacrifices that some of them make, especially the research unit, which is only about 50% staffed. Most scientists work overtime. They really go out of their way. And for example, when the politicians say that the fishing industry has to come and do our work for us, when we ask them to charter a vessel, so the Hague survey, in fact, the Hague survey would have been done on time. It had to be done middle of February to middle of March. But because of, again, our supply chain procedures, even though we followed the emergency route, but because of that Christmas, New Year, kind of thing where people go on leave, so they delayed it. So we pay the Viking company to take the Andromeda. It costs us 122,000 per day, plus 60,000 per day, 60,000 for the diesel. So it's not free. And although they take the vessel out of commission from fishing to do our survey together with us, we give them an extended time to go back in and deep sea and do their fishing. So nobody loses out. And we've got other surveys coming up, and we've also got emergency arrangements in place for that. So, we are having this press conference. We're going to lay everything out on the table. And I am going to complain to the media council that they can no longer write stories about fisheries and the fishing industry and endanger the confidence that people have in the fishing industry. And it's not in the public interest to tell lies.
Before you go to the media council, we are still here. Are you done? Okay, thank you. I have thought you would, as you continue, Mr. Savogren, you would say something very, very succinctly in relation to which is the purpose of your vessels, your research vessels. Whether your surveys have been affected or not. I thought you would say something in the tail end, just in one sentence, whether it is Dr. Hostein or anybody, just in conclusion. I'm very keen on that one.
Chairperson, even though the vessels, we couldn't use them, as I say, we chartered private vessels. We did a logic survey last year, which is for snook and anchovy and so we did charter them, that was a compass vessel, and went out and did that survey. The Hague survey, even though there was a supply chain delay, my colleagues, the scientists under Dr. Augustine, worked on the Norwegian vessel, which does their own research anyway. The only problem is now they had to rely on what they call calibrations. So work was being done in terms of a surveying the status of Hague. It's just that now they've gone out and they're doing it a proper survey, adding to those calibrations. So the fishing industry is not compromised with the Hague industry, and the Marine Stewardship Council certification is also not compromised, because they are with us now the end of this month and first week of March, where this council is meeting with us. So I understand the difficulties we went through, and the surveys have been done. I'm not sure, though, because in Dr. Augustine's survey, he mentioned that we couldn't do the West Coast rock lobster survey, but we do have the recovery plan worked out already. I'm not sure if he can maybe comment on that.
Thank you, Chair. Now, there are surveys that are critical, which had to be done, otherwise we would not have been able to set TACs. And that would have, for example, that would be the Bajek surveys that DDG was referring to. The Hague surveys, it's part of a long-time series, so we did miss a couple of surveys last year on the South Coast, but they weren't critical. We could still set a TAC and do the modelling required. We had to do the January one, though, and we did the January one. The data we collected was supplemented by the Norwegian vessel, which the DDG referred to. They were going to do a transboundary survey between South Africa and Namibia. It's part of a program that we have with the Benguela Current Commission. And we arranged to have that survey extended so to cover the whole West Coast. So we've got the combination of our survey and the Nansen survey providing us with enough information so we won't fall short in terms of the Marine Stewardship Council certification. Where there might be a problem is with the missing patrol, which we didn't do. But even there, we still have land-based patrols, and we are still monitoring the catches, and the Marine Stewardship Council will take that into account. I don't think we're going to lose the certification because we didn't do the survey, but obviously if we have an even longer break and it becomes clear that there is an illegal fishing problem, then we would have a problem. I don't think we've got a problem as it stands. Of course, if we can get the vessels going, the sooner the better, particularly patrol vessels as well. Then the other surveys, which were done, the rock lobster surveys, those are for tagging purposes, and we use the growth data from the tagging to, it's an input to the assessment process. However, that can also be missed for a year or so, but not for a long period. The fact that we missed a year is not good, but it's not fatal. So we've had some problems with regard to getting the best data, but we have managed to make recommendations on all the major fisheries despite these problems. It hasn't caused us to collapse. But we can't afford any further delays, hence the process of getting the vessels back and getting them operational.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. You want to conclude? Simple.
Sir, thanks, sir, and to the members. Just to add on the compliance enforcement side of things, Chairperson, we have got a small a fleet of small craft that is dispersed along the coast of the Eastern Cape and also the Western Cape. Now, these are boats and rubber ducks that we use for inshore patrols. So, besides what I'm trying to say, whilst we do not have the bigger cells, we still have a fleet that does some of the work, but not all of the work, because we cannot patrol the high seas. So when it comes to inshore, near shore, and also land-based law enforcement, at least we do have a presence. So I thought, let me just add that, just to say that we are not in a crisis mode necessarily, because we do have to do some work, but we do need those vessels there.
Okay. Thank members, before we get on to questions or comments or such, I just thought, let me just also take this opportunity to introduce one of our staff, new staff members, who has been with us for quite some time. She has since been promoted to be what is referred to as content advisor. Her name is Noxola Mpashe. There she is. She's standing up as we speak. As we all know her to have been a researcher, she, like anybody else, applied to be content advisor. She has been awarded that responsibility. So congratulate her for that. We did agree on a backup plan for her to continue to do some service on research, because we don't have a research as we speak. So which is one good thing, as what that English phrase, you know, when one is good for another one, the other one is, you know, bad. You English people know those things better than me. That's the briefing. Congratulations, Oxala, once again. Members, the floor is open. I see Mr. Van Dalen very edgy. I saw Mrs. Palitlis Maswane's hand as well. Mr. Banga, Mrs. Dain, Mr. Abram, and Mrs. Twala, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the path has gone from disaster to disaster, and it all started with an alleged corrupt Sekhonjalo scam. Sekhonjalo is the company that was started by Brett Campbell and Paul Survey, and is faced with the President and Tina, the Minister, and the Honorable Minister Tina. Now, is this friendship and the Minister's hate for anything that is white that has landed us in this trouble? The Navy has misled us. The Department has misled this committee. When they came here last year and they said, well, everything's on track, the payments are in, and this has not happened. They have misled us on the status of these vessels. Today we are told that the Navy cannot meet the requirement of DAF. We said that a year back already. What DAF is not telling us is that they, in fact, strangled the Navy by not making timeless payments, and so the Navy had to borrow money from their fuel fund to pay for repairs to these vessels, and later, when it was finished, the fuel fund was empty, and they had to stop their work. The only in December or late in the year, when DAF started paying, the work had already halted, and now it's called a saving by the department. To prove this, the Algoa, when he went to visit, sailed out of Simonstown Harbour, and it was taken to a dry dock, and it took about 2 weeks to repair, and it has already concluded two successful surveys. So, you know, how is it possible that, you know, they tell us it can't be done, and then a ship sails out and somebody else does it in 2 weeks and it has done the two crucial surveys it needed to do. The department came here last year and told us that they cannot protect the fish and palm stocks and was losing the battle. Today nothing has changed and we did not get a plan of action how they are going to turn this around. If, you know, if you were in Japan, you would go outside and fall on your sword because of this disgrace. And it's a national disaster which you created. And shame on you for doing that and not doing anything to protect our fish stocks. And it will come back to haunt you. We are way behind on the long-term fishing quota allocation process. And when we raised this in the beginning of last year, we were told we are alarmist and everything is intact. Clearly time has proven you wrong. And our admittance today leaves me with a bitter taste in my mouth. I would like to say I told you so, but that would mean I have pleasure in doing that. I do not have pleasure in it and realize the catastrophic effect this will have on the poor and job creation. How are you going to fix this? I mean, you can't. It's too late now. There's just no time for it. The MHC accreditation, Ms. Appelgrain, is happy with the progress that was made in regards. She put out a press statement to say she was happy, and she had called me alarmist and a liar and irresponsible to raise the issue. You come here today and admit that it is actually the truth, and I was right. And I demand an apology from you, a retraction of your statement earlier, that you called me a liar and you said that I was alarmist. I demand a retraction of that.
Did she call you a liar?
Yes.
Where?
In the committee meeting, it's on record, where she said that I lied to the media. A politician lied to the media and she was referring to me. Okay.
Can't we really try and be on the issues? I am struggling here. You know, you start off with, you know, wide-ranging, you know, comments. Sekhonjalo.
That's what started everything.
You know, Cabo, friends of the president, friends of the minister, and he...
That's a point of order. Nalan referred to an honorable minister who has got hate for the white. Is that relevant in this situation? I mean, hate part of it for white, is that not racist?
I withdraw that.
Mr. Prandtl, and I'm very much conscious as I look at you, you are reading from a prepared statement.
I wrote it.
Nothing criminal about it at all. But equally important is it for us to be civil in our meetings. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to attract so much of any retractions and all what it takes to say we are not moving forward. That's what we want to do. We want to move forward. We have here a department that's spelled out in so clear and succinct terms of challenges that they are confronted with, which we must appreciate, as a matter of fact. Unlike if you were to have found somebody who is literally, let alone finding it difficult, but literally refusing to accept the fact that they have charges. We have people who are standing in front of us, seated of course, admitting whether we really have to, and I don't know how you want to approach this. That's the challenge that we have, Mr. Van Dalen, if you don't mind.
Mr. Chairperson, I wrote this down this morning because I was afraid I was going to lose my memory. So it is notes to help me to get where I want to get. And I mean, it's all right for the department to admit that they are wrong. But for 1 year, we have been telling them this is what's coming, and they have been telling us it's not going to happen, everything is on track. Surely that must have some, bear some consequences, and that is where I'm getting to, where I want to make a recommendation. So, with the comment and the statement that Ms. Appelgren made that time, it was quite misleading, because she was turning the facts around and saying, well, you know, at the time, the one survey would do everything, which it does. It can't do everything. It was a piggyback on something that people would, if we could use the data from that Norwegian ship all the time, why are we paying money to have a ship to do our own surveys? Then we could have just every year asked them to do our survey for us, and it would be for free. So we need to get somewhere, and I think that the department has failed to implement the observers on the ship as well. The observer mission is one of the pillars on which the MSC rests. Industry has now hired people to monitor them. Don't you think that's a conflict of interest, that the industry employs the observers because the department didn't do it, so that we could retain our status? And then the department comes here and says, well, that pillar is all right, we have dealt with it. You know, and the other thing is that when the industry has to go out and withdraw their own ships, we could be making money somewhere else, and we have to pay a lot of money to keep our MSC accreditation. Those companies pay a levy to the department. That money that they pay is 40 cents in a kilogram. For every kilogram of fish that is caught, they pay into a fund, and for that fund, the department must do the patrols, they must do the observations, and they must, what is the other thing, the surveys. The survey must be in place. The department has done nothing of that. What has happened to that money? Why are they are not getting value for money. The industry is not getting. They are talking about taking that money, that levies, and putting it in a special fund so that they can keep it from the department of misusing it, and then they will then use it to meet the requirements of the MSC accreditation. You know, so. Where is the 800 million rand that was allocated to the servicing and the manning and the maintenance of these ships? Where has that gone? And we as a committee will be failing in our duty if we don't step in and rectify this. And I want to beg with you that we intervene and we stay on this all the time. And, you know, it is an indictment on us. As a committee and on our powers, that people can come here and they can tell us for 1 year that everything is fine and now come to tell us, well, you know, we have a big problem. We could have started fixing the problem a year ago already, Mr. Chairman. And I think people should be held to account, and we should investigate, come up with a report on how we're going to fix this as a committee. And we must make recommendations to that effect. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Coming with the recommendations. Mrs. Peters Mufana.
Chairperson, thank you. Firstly, Chairperson, I need clarity on the first presenter. Clarity on under internal consultation on policy consultation. Clarity on new entrants. And another, this is not clarity, is I just want to know how far are they beneficiation fronting, and I want to know how far are you with this one, clarity on the new entrants. And again, Chairperson, really, I'm very disappointed. I don't know where to start, especially on vessels. Because it's not long. Last year is not long. When we visited Simon said, it's not long. It's last year. It's not long. And we were so sure that things would be okay, the way we were briefed. But now, suddenly, you know, the Navy could not do what they should do. Hence, there is this 800 million budgeted for the vessels. Now the vessels should come back to the department. You know, it's just a complication situation. We don't know whether we are going or we are coming or we are stuck. You know, I don't understand. I'm really disappointed. I don't have much to say concerning these things. We will hear from the department what is the way forward now, since the Navy could not continue servicing their vessels, whereas the money has been allocated to do the job. We will just listen to them when they brief us the way forward concerning the vessels. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Mr. Banga.
Thank you, Chair. I think first, you see, I must say that this is not just an issue. I think that we must just throw stones to each other and play to be a bit defensive one way or the other. I think officials have to take responsibility to some extent of our actions. And we should communicate very clearly. To me, like I was just listening, I was a bit sleepy sometimes. But when I just listening to the kind of report, I was very shocked. We're in a crisis and nobody wants to accept that we're in a crisis. Until we start to accept that there is a problem, we'll start to do something about it. And it's unfortunately it's not this politician sitting on this side who have put our country into a crisis, and the officials sitting on the other side who have put our country into crisis. And now we have to try and find ways to save our country, and people are throwing stones to us, and I don't think we should accept that. I am raising this because this is all critical. I think the minister should take responsibility, Chairperson, about this and give us an account on this. It's very shocking. I am raising this because I believe and firmly believe, and it is recorded in the House of Parliament, that I've asked the question. And I believe that Cabinet and the President is not well informed about what is happening in Tuamotu vessels. I asked it last day. The President couldn't even understand what I was talking about. Now, this is a national crisis. The minister must come to what extent has this crisis, all vessels, every vessel that was spoken about here, there's a crisis. Even like a layman like me who doesn't understand the marine environment would really know that if your vessel, the ones collecting data, and the others that are supposed to be patrolling our waters, are in crisis. We're in crisis. You have to say DDG in a press conference. If you are a good South African, say it there in the press conference, we are facing a crisis in our country. We need an intervention. We need government to take and deal with this issue. Or if we don't do that and continue to deny this problem, our waters will continue to be exploited. You have just said it yourself that there are Israelis that are not being controlled. Talk to yourself. Is that not a crisis? It's a crisis. It's a serious crisis. Please, man, there's a crisis. The minister should escalate this crisis to the cabinet. The minister should escalate this to the president. Now we'll blame the president, blame that, but somebody who's supposed to be doing what he's supposed to be doing is not doing. Now the nation is suffering. I want to ask, to what extent will this, the question order the chairperson asked, to what extent this is affecting our data collection? You feel telling me that, no, it's not affected. Please, it's not true. It's really not true. It's affected indirectly because if these things, there are times that they're supposed to sail and not sailing, and you have to go and look some, it's affected. The purpose of data collection, doctor, I'm not a doctor, I'm just a layman, I'm losing your logic here. It's affected because the operation chain is not doing its work. And my worry is that the first man in the country is not aware of this. When I asked this thing last year in the House in Parliament, the president, he said that I don't even watch TV. All these things are failing. And I laughed. I said, I'm very worried that the president is not aware that the marine vessels that are supposed to do control by DAF are not operating. And the minister, Sina, the honorable minister, Sina Jomat, has not been properly guiding cabinet on the problem. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of investment needs to be made here. Lot of investment. Therefore, they don't need one minister, you, ma'am. You are not going to solve this problem for us until you yourself in the department and the minister take responsibility, inform the country about this crisis, for us to know. Our waters are open to illegal, to people. This parliament, this, you are saying yourself that this is open. People know. The people who poach and do all sorts of things, legal operation, are aware of the problem we're facing now in the country. Please, madam, we are not going to, I'm not going to defend you. We are correct. We represent South Africans here. We represent, we're not representing our parties here. We represent the interest of our people. Therefore, that press conference, I don't think a press conference needs to sit here to explain what. You go to a press conference, you need to take through this thing, escalate, the minister must come and account. No press conference here to defend things that are not defendable.
Yes.
This is our press conference. We're talking to you that you have not done your duty. Your DAF fleet management has failed our people. Crisis open. Thank you.
Mr. Van Dalen, you sound like that fan in the soccer game. You know, whenever there's any move, you know, you are a cheerer, you know.
Yeah!
And when you are supposed to be put there in the game itself, and I cannot imagine what could really come. And you're supposed to win in an election. And Mrs. Stein?
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't make comments about the election now. Chair, now unfortunately I also have to raise my disappointment, firstly with the presentation, and secondly with the new DG. I was really disappointed that she started raising the issues from her side, and unfortunately we have to react to that. Chair, we were told here that not all targets will be met for this year. We have been told that there's a recovery plan. We've heard it last year. There's nothing new that we haven't heard for a year now. So what I would want, Chair, is a proper presentation telling us exactly which surveys have been missed. What is the impact of that? What is the plan for that? What is the problem with the missing patrols? Who is going to take that? We've heard a presentation, but I'm not sure what is going to happen. So basically we need a proper report with all the outstanding issues and facts. How much money is going to go for that? Where did the money come from? There was talks about going to Treasury for more funding. I'm not sure what the funding is supposed to be doing for what. And we are going into a budget debate just now that we know at least as this portfolio what is needed to turn this thing around. And I have to agree, Chairperson, that last year, when we were saying that there's a problem coming, we heard that it's not an issue. But it definitely is an issue. We've just heard it now. So, Chair, I'm not adding value to this discussion. I'm just also saying that I'm extremely disappointed with this presentation. I don't know exactly where we are. I don't know what is it that we're missing. How critical is it that we need to get certain things by a certain date done, although it's already too late for most of the issues as far as I can find out, but we need to get a proper presentation, and I agree, Chair, I think we must get a minister to this meeting and she must take responsibility.
Mr. Abram?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know there's this old adage that the truth may be unpleasant, but we should all remember that it will always prevail. I am very sorry for the DDG. that she finds herself in a situation where she has to defend something which is really not of her making. But the problem, dear person, is that if you take the trappings, and unfortunately you've got to throw the coach and take the responsibility. Now, dear person, I just want to caution ourselves that one of the greatest threats to freedom is the absence of criticism. The moment you accept a position, the moment you are a senior official in any State Department, you must remember that you are answerable to the people of the country. And in this instance, you are answerable to Parliament, because Parliament has to see that it holds oversight over the actions of the department. Now, Chairperson, it is said that the fisheries sector is worth about 6 billion rand per annum. Now, it is no small player. It's a major player. And that it employs approximately 27,000 people. And my source is the press. And thank God that we've got a free press. Thank God that media freedom is still sacrosanct in our country, and we should fight to keep it that way. Because without the free media there, we will not see or hear many of the things that are happening in the dark corners of very many departments. Chairperson, I am extremely concerned that last year in March, the department decided to seek the assistance of the Navy in order to assist with the patrolling and, of course, to make available to touch up the vessels so that they could go out to sea and do what the vessels are supposed to do. On the one hand, to monitor our waters. On the other hand, also to conduct surveys. Unfortunately, Che, if the Navy was unable to do that, then it is incumbent upon our committee to determine, it's not a question of who failed or what, question is why. Because, Chairperson, although defense is not our portfolio yet, it affects you, me, and everyone else. And it would mean, Chair, that our vessels that will save the country in times of war and defend it may possibly not in a state to do so. And I'm merely red flagging this, Chair, that it needs to be addressed and it needs to be looked at. Why did the Navy fail to carry out that memorandum of understanding that was entered into by the two ministers? What went wrong there? It is important for this committee to know. Chairperson, the other problem that we have here is that, and I think some members alluded to it, if what Dr. Appelgrain has, Dr. Augustine has said, I accept that it is true, that there are certain parts of our waters that we are unable to police. And if we are unable to police them, Chair, you know the number of abalone that's being poached as we are talking here, Chair. The number of other resources that are being plundered in the sea, as we are talking here, sir, I don't think you can put a number to it. You cannot put a figure to it. It is happening all the time, sir. And the net result and the core of it is the fact that our waters are not being policed, and therefore it is a free-for-all. Especially some of those countries who claim to be very good friends of ours, but when it suits them, they don't mind stealing from us. And that is happening as we are sitting here, sir. My question now, what are we doing whilst we are still battling to put a plan together about what we're going to do? We have here all statements of intent, Chair. This is what we would do, and this is the time frame. But I've seen so many statements of intent in the last 12 years that I served on agriculture, that very few of those statements of intent really bore fruit. the challenge here, Chair, and I'm no enemy of anybody. I love South Africa and I love all her peoples. And that is why I say, Chair, we must listen to those who are critical and not see them as people that you want to report to the press ombudsman or whoever, or whoever, or whoever. See every South African as one who has a stake in this land, who is concerned about what is going to happen to the future generations. Then we shall make progress, Chair. We need, Chair, from the department, what I would call a war plan. Because the division is in crisis, the division has fallen apart, and I think the most ignorant person will tell you that. And I agree with Dr. Augustine that we will be placing the lives and the livelihoods and the jobs of many people who have traditionally been dependent on this particular industry. And I want to know, Chair, can South Africa still afford to add on further percentages to the statistics of the unemployed? We can't afford it. We are sitting on a ticking time bomb. And what I expect from the department, Chair, is to have come here with a war plan to tell us that these are all the wrongs that happened. And I have empathy for the new DDG, that she has found herself in this mess. But the problem is we have to clear the mess. And the other issue, Chairperson, is, it was said here by the DDG that the division is not falling apart. Chairperson, everything that's happening, everything that we're discussing here, is not a symptom, but it is the real cause of something that is not working. And we've got to be brutally frank and have a war plan to say that this is how we're going to put it right. And that has not been put forward here, Chairperson. The targets that the department has set itself for this particular year, according to Dr. Augustine, will not be met. I would like to have, Chair, before us, some indication of which targets, what a percentage of a particular target, and what would its impact be on the broad society, the people that live out of the sector. Those things are necessary there. We need to know what the aftermath of the failure would be. Otherwise, Chair, I don't want to be a party to an annual or a periodical report by the department, and we listen to one another, and they go back from here, and we never hear from them again. There's no response to the questions that have been put here. I would like to see responses from the department. If they don't have the information today, that they must bring us the information in writing. And we, Chairperson, will have to see and measure that the responses that they bring us are being acted upon and that something is being done. If that is not happening, Chair, then I would say that it would become an exercise in futility. It's a parliamentary procedure, and that we merely stick to a particular procedure and we don't look at the result or the benefits thereof for broad society. In conclusion, Chair, we must remember one thing, and that is, Chair, that if a free society cannot help the majority who are poor, it cannot save the very few who are very rich. It can never happen, Chair. And this is a quote by John F. Kennedy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Abram. Mamakwala.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add my disappointment on the report. after all the positive promises that were made in Simonstown in November last year. And this actually brings this uncertainty that Ms. Stein is referring to. Because right now we are not sure where are we. My clarity seeking question, Chairperson, is that the department gave a decisive indication as to whether the vessels will remain under the Navy or whether they are going to tender the vessel management contract. If the department is taking the tender route, an update on the progress made should be given to us. I thank you.
Thank you for that. you may switch off, Mr. Premier. Mark, thank you. I guess the issues are very straightforward, Mrs. Appleton, and that's just to, you know, air my view of one or two areas, which for me are more specifically on the state of readiness of the department when it comes to, you know, allocation or reallocation of official rights. The issues that we've always been raising from day one, even before April of 2010, when the fisheries were still within the environment, officially not having been transferred as yet to the department. One of those issues was about, you know, decentralization of the service. So that you don't have that person from Port North, from Coffee Bay, come all the way to Cape Town, to an extent having even forgotten one original document, to go back again. Or an old man from PE was saying he would literally have spent something like 12,000 rands to transport from PE to here and back, you know, accommodation here. There is also an issue about the consultants. To an extent, you want to do away with those consultants because with those complicated forms that you have for any, especially the new entrants, or those that do not have the money to pay those consultants, to an extent, you really want to do away with those consultants. Simplify forms. So that you have an ordinary person being able to fill in those forms. To an extent also you want to have had, you know, a decentralized service so that nobody comes to Cape Town. It is only within the precinct of Western Cape, perhaps, who might have to come through to Cape Town. To an extent also you want to address the issues of transformation of the industry itself. These allocations are going to take place, that they must address that question. One of the encounters that I would have had, I can talk confidently of about four of those. Some of our black people who probably are to see themselves being new entrants. I don't know how you are doing it, but a message must go out there, assisted by the media, of course, as well. Some of the white companies, I'm saying white companies precisely because they are so. They are going all over, literally selling their boats and selling their assets. To some of our black people, four of them have approached me already. I don't know how many have approached any of us. They are getting this offer to buy these assets, boats and whatnot, as if it's a given that because you are black, you are going to be allocated fishing rights. It's not a fact. What is going to happen when you don't have the fishing rights? You find yourself stuck with those boats. How are you going to pay them? Because what is to service that debt must be a business opportunity availed to you. Whether you are going to be able to find that right allocated to you, a big question mark. Now, to an extent, you really want to get to the bottom of this whole process. You really also need to ask yourself that simple question. You know, the transformation objectives you might wish to, which finally the point I wanted also to raise is a matter, you know, related to, you know, your charter for the fisheries. As we speak, it continues to be business as usual. We are now going to go into another in a cycle of applications. Once again, we speak in tongues on this matter. One of the fishery people was saying to me, you need to approach fisheries in such a manner that it must be per species if you are to look at transformation. In other words, you must look at transformation of hake, you must look at transformation of squid, you must look at transformation of whatever. I'm not convinced. You have fish South Africa today, in South Africa. And for me, if you are to talk about transformation of the fishing industry, it has to be directed at that. Of course, it may not necessarily be representing everyone. At least there is a semblance of some, you know, body that talks and have a voice, at least, of the majority. Whether big or small. For me, at least you're getting somewhere. Then you may wish to reach out to others. But what is more important that I repeat and perhaps concluding is the fact that transformation agenda must be at the center of this process that we're about to get into. So that there must not be excuses of having heard those black people who may qualify, but because they might not have the boat, therefore they are disqualified. At times they even have those papers that they sell to those boat owners. And the terms in which they get into are ridiculous. To an extent, they are literally taking us backward. As the case is now, if you talk about us, about the transformation status of the industry, I'm sure you will talk of anything no less than 50%. But in reality, the situation is different. If you were to call on all of those that are said to be black, bringing them here to talk to us, we will get a totally different story altogether. In fact, we must actually arrive at that point before these new rights are allocated, that we bring them here and they talk to us, not only talking to us, also bring those that they claim to be part of the company. So that we are able not only bring them here, but go out there so that we are able to meet with them there, wherever they are. Bring them together. So that we get to see this signature and this person and the ID number and critical questions being asked to those so-called owners of those companies as to whether you are indeed in reality part of this company. Because fronting and fraud is rampant within this industry. So before we get to the point of those allocations, I think we need to get to this issue. We need to get to the bottom of this whole problem that we're dealing with. Otherwise, we are not going to get anywhere in transformation of this industry for the better. As I said in the introductory remark earlier on, ours here is about the improvement of that ordinary person for the better. That's all what brings us together here. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. For someone who was only appointed in December, only 2 months.
Sorry, we were just informed that we might have a break just for 10 minutes. tea is here served hot. Otherwise, if we start now, it will be another 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Maybe we should just take that 10-minute break. It's now almost 5 after 11, and perhaps we should prepare by 11:15.
I'll see you. No, there's public, one journalist, I think, is crazy, the person, about this thing. You know, you can't talk to the media, you think it's wrong to the government. So now they are there. I see the problem. I think it's not. What are those? Then they'll go to the. I'm not sure if they gave it some wood or. Or can we check? Can we check what the one that I go in there?
I think the report from the research.
Okay.
What's happening? The national leader of the Ahaman would be.
So we defeat
the alternative political home. It's better than your new channel.
Ach, Peter. Dann war das da. Ach, Peter. Meine Frau Greta, die Kuration.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I was saying, but not complaining, just reminding the House I'm the new lady. But I said full responsibility for the crisis we're in, as far as the vessels are concerned. But I don't believe in a crisis for all the other things. And the vessels would put us in a crisis since we weren't in control of it, except now that you are taking their control. And, Chairperson, just to say that the MOU with the Navy does end now, March 2013. And as I said earlier, that we met with the Navy on Friday, the Chief of the Navy and all his very senior officials, and informed them that we will rather let it end and we take back the vessels. The only problem was that we only wanted to take back the two big ones, the research vessel Afrikaner and Saab Bartman, in the next few days to Transnet's called Key 500, and we'll get the companies who originally built them to come and repair them. So that was our crisis plan. Maybe I didn't speak very loud or very clear when I said it early on, but that is a clear plan for those two vessels. So we will have one deep sea patrol vessel on the sea, so to speak. I nearly said on the road. An Afrikaner research vessel also on the sea. And what we are arranging is to meet with the two companies. Dahman is the one who built the Saab Bartman, and Doval Marine, although they've changed their name now to African Shipyards, who built the Afrikaner, to meet with them and see how fast can they prioritize the repair of these ships. Fortunately, the Saab Bartman does not require major repairs. It's a very minor repairs, judging from the last audit report that we got from Dahman, from one of the salvaging companies, who, all their surveyors who do these kind of assessments, so to speak. So those two important vessels will be at sea, ready at the end of March, when there's a survey we're doing end of March, which is due. Johan, what is that survey, sorry, which fish is it?
It's the pelagic recruitment
survey. Oh, sorry, yeah, okay, pelagic recruitment one. So we do have a schedule of research that must be done for the entire year, for 2013. And the one that's coming up now, the end of March, the pelagic one, we will have the Afrikaan ready, and we have a backup plan in the event that South African shipyards, who we want to repair it urgently, are unable to get parts, or they can, or they take too long to get it, we will charter a vessel. So we've got a plan for that. Now, you will have heard Dr. Augustine talk about some research which was not very critical, which couldn't be done last year, but it wasn't such a problem. Now, in my discussions with him and our planning in terms of the crisis, which we had just yesterday, actually, the two of us said, that critical survey, the very small survey, Chairperson, they will be done now, also in March. Either with Afrikaner or also charter vessels. Either members want to know exactly which fish species they're going to be, we ask Johan to mention them. So there is a crisis plan, and from our own point of view, we may not have put it to you that it's a crisis, but from our own perspective, we have come up with the crisis plan, and we do see it as a crisis. It is unfortunate that my colleagues, although they did want to take the vessels back from the Navy a long time ago, but I suppose they felt it so difficult. Now, the Navy, a powerful institution, even to meet with them, a very intimidating experience, but fortunately, they were very cooperative. So all the surveys that are scheduled for 2013 are not at risk. Last year's ones, they were at risk. So, and we apologize to the House for that. In terms of payments were all made to the Navy except the last one. It was a 4.8 million rand, but I think it's because we have a dispute with them on that one. But unfortunately, the system of payment that they wanted, their system was different to their system. They could not take transfer payments or advance payments from us, so they would have money from us up front. They wanted to use their monies and then invoice us. So that is how now they ran into problems late in the year and didn't declare they were running into problems. It's only when we met on Friday they said they're having problems using their own funds and invoicing. So I said, but you should have spoken up, we would have given a transfer payment. So That's most unfortunate. So other than that, those payments to them were made. But just in terms of the tender, we are going out and tender. I'm not sure, again, perhaps the member didn't hear me. I said tender because it's a very big tender and we want as many role players to become involved in it and to benefit from it and to have different contractors instead of one big contractor. But breaking up the tender into research vessels and patrol vessels, so to the two big tenders, with a lot of subcontracting to smaller companies in the province. Well, you're more likely to be in the Western Cape, but the companies, you know, even international companies can tender for it. So it's 167 million per annum times 5 years. It brings it up to 835,000. Yeah, what am I saying now? Sorry, 835 million. Sorry, and maybe I've covered that. And you see the observer coverage that we have from industry, it's a mutual and shared responsibility. It's not like they're coming on board because they don't trust us or we're not good enough. We invite them to do it, and we do it as a partnership. So do I say we give misleading information. So if we have the fact at our disposal, it's not so bad. It's also a problem when we talk about the levies paid by the industry and we think that those levies are such a huge pot of money and it covers everything. It's a small pot of money. When we look at it, I analyze it over the past 3 years. It's not even 50% of the total budget that we work with in the fisheries branch alone. The taxpayer covers bulk of our expenditure. They pay all our salaries. They pay all the scientists. They pay for this tender to go out to manage the vessels. They pay for the vessels. The state owns the vessels. So it's really, and I think when we have a press conference, I'm going to distribute these printouts so that the public can see how much the total amount that comes in. And it's not only the levies they pay, also the permits. It's also whenever they, you know, the poaching, and we confiscate things and we sell it, and we use that for the benefit of the fishing industry, so it goes back to them. I'm going to ask. Okay. I think what I should do, I won't try to respond to all the issues, Chairperson, but I would like to send a report to the committee which deals with you know, the whole issue of fronting, because we do deal with that. There's 10 cases that are investigating, and we do revoke people's fishing rights. But I think to give you more detail on that, even the whole thing of new entrants and the whole transformation agenda, we will give you a report on that one. I must say it's very difficult because the more we allocate to people who are from the disadvantaged communities, the more we lose out later when they sell their fishing rights and their quotas and so on to the big guys. So we're looking at that as to how we can empower them so that when we give you a quota, you use your quota, you become either a cooperative together with other people or I think we call it a CPA. A communal or contract. Okay. So that we now want to have an economic support program for the small scale and the disadvantaged communities, the subsistence sector, so that they not don't end up surrendering their fishing rights. They use it. I know Mr. Van Domfields agree that, although I didn't mention names, that I was referring to him in terms of media statements are misleading. And it's so obvious that they are misleading. And yet I feel that as a member of this committee, he can quite easily get access to information so that he puts facts out there and then he criticizes the facts. Rather than when I read it, I think, but this is really misleading. It's him and the other individual who's seen as an expert in the fishing industry when in fact he can't possibly be, when everything he says is negative. He worked for the same department previously. So we're all going to take him on now. We're no longer going to allow him to make statements that are half true, very misleading, and sometimes entirely not true. Chairperson, if you don't mind, everything to do with allocation of oil, but let me just comment on this one. You see the decentralization of our fisheries. We have set up offices in the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape, where people don't have to come right into Cape Town to apply anything. But we did have a problem. There was a backlog because people would apply in whichever areas they want to apply, and then people come to Cape Town for someone senior to approve of it. So that was not taking long for them, and that was frustrating them. So now we have delegated powers to our officials out in the other provinces and some of the more remote coastal areas so that they can approve on-site. Because the standard criteria that you follow is not a personal decision that you're making. So the battle, though, that we do have here in Cape Town, there's still a lot of people who are applying and trying to do it faster. There's a problem. And just coming back to the tender, I know I've spoken about it, and I think many people are worried that it will take ages. It's not going to take ages. I'm very determined to make sure any bottleneck is dealt with. So, and that we don't have litigation cases also. And I think someone did ask about the second JALO contract. They themselves withdrew because they could see the litigation was going to drag the process for a couple of years. So they are definitely out of the picture, unfortunately for them. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Firstly, we will give reports on all the other issues. And I think also our crisis plan, I've spoken almost twice about it. I'll put it in writing so the members can see, but we do have a plan to rescue the situation, especially the two big ships, the research on Afrikaan and Sarah Bartman, the patrol one.
Chairperson, thank you for that. I would appreciate if we can get a plan in writing with dates of the processes so that we can follow up on that, because what we are missing in what is being said basically is we don't know when is what's going to happen. And as I asked previously, also on the critical surveys that were missed, which ones was it, what is the process and plan, all of that, the surveys, and also for the fleet and the vessels, Jay, if we can get that as soon as possible so that we can keep on following up on that. And then, Chair, also the backup, because that's the one question that I asked last year when the Navy was presenting and they were saying to us on Saturday the ship is going to sail, and I asked them, what is the backup plan? They said that there's neither backup because the ship is going to be in the water. That's 3 months ago. So, Chair, we also want to know what is the backup if it could not be, or the cost is too high from these companies that would fix the ship.
Maybe let us conclude all the responses and then we can come up with the follow-up questions. Dr.
Chair, I thought I could help Mr. Stein by just talking about the cruises that were done last year, not done. We did the cruises that were not done last year were two cruises on the South Coast, which would have been done on Afrikaner. One would have been focused on sole and squid and hake, and the other one on hake only. The purpose of those cruises were to get another estimate of bonus for the South Coast area. And as I said, what was detrimental in the sense that we didn't get another day point for the South Coast. Missing one day point was not critical for the species. If we do cruises this year, then we should be able to go on. It won't affect our ability to set TACs. We were going to do a horse mackerel survey, which would have been a new survey. We've been wanting to get a better estimate of horse mackerel because at the moment we don't set a total allowable catch. We only set at what's called a precautionary maximum catch limit, which is based on fisheries catch data, which we then put into models. It doesn't give you a very precise estimate, but we've had to use that because we haven't been able to do surveys. To do a horse mackerel survey would cost around 5 million rand, and we didn't actually have the funds on our budget until last year, and unfortunately the vessel wasn't available, so we didn't do the survey. It's not a train smash, as I said, because it just delays for a year our ability to get a better estimate. We did manage to do the hake cruise now in January, which was a critical one, as I said. We did manage to do the pelagic recruitment survey earlier in the year, last year. So the only serious ones that missed, that were missed were the two South Coast hake ones. Then we didn't get the growth data from the rock lobster surveys from Ellen Kuswire, but we are now using an industry vessel to get that information. The Ellen Kuswire would have done some lionfish research and some tuna research, which is important in terms of understanding the life cycles and getting better estimates of stock size, but they're also not critical service. They are research support service, essentially. However, having said that, we do not want to miss more than a year. So those were the ones that were missed, and those were the ones that were important. We did manage to do the critical ones that are required for sitting TOCs. So that, from our point of view, was the most important thing. And, yeah, it's bad that we don't, weren't able to do all our surveys. I certainly agree with that. But we're not in a crisis yet as far as that's concerned. We will be in a crisis if we do not get the vessels up and running this year. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Banga, Mr. Vandala, Ingos.
That maybe to the DDG, I must echo the sentiment that to us it's not new to when we say that we would have managed to come with a turnaround strategy, or some of these things might have been fixed by the end, or some of the vessels might have been sailing by the end of March. It's not like it's not new. We are used. It's unfortunate. I don't like being an official myself. What you're talking about, demoralizing people. We've been very demoralized to think how to help you. Our duty is to help. Give oversight. But it makes things very difficult for us, because we've asked the questions before. But I think I want to suggest that maybe we should prioritize this year this branch of fishers. Within your own sentiment, Chair, of the broader transformation agenda that you put, we do really have problems here. And I think we should at least give time. And we need a detailed report of this plan with dates. It's not that we want to run in the assembly and ask questions. Such that we have to really do oversight, that really the promises you make, you're going to keep them. And if people are not doing the work that they're supposed to do, I think heads must roll. And I think even you, DDG, will hold you responsible. People must leave if they don't want to do the work that they're supposed to do on behalf of South Africans. We're not going to succeed, Chair, to transform fisheries. People are not doing the right they're supposed to do. And I think we should prioritize within the context of reason. But I still want to appeal. The minister should come and give us an account on putting us to where we are. Our duty really, according to the Constitution, is to give oversight to politicians. But our duty to politicians. Politicians have to give direction to where? To departments. And I still feel that, Chair, the minister broadly must be called to come in. And now, you are asking a transformation plan in terms of the upcoming allocations. Those things are supposed to ask in a politician. That is your vision. Really, it's not coming. Really, the poor DDG, she just came here. She cannot really have a broader a vision. But this, the minister must come and tell us, where are you going to take us? I believe, Chapter 8, our generation and generation of our children will judge this term of a portfolio committee for free, to say we're not given an opportunity to give direction on the new allocations and review of allocations, that we don't give proper guidance to say how this thing must go. The reason why the very same minister is not providing a vision in this department. And food production is collapsing. Because we are unable ourselves, we are one committee in this parliament, which is unable to be firm both to politicians and officials. And we must. If we have the police sit with these officials every day, we must. We can even leave education, high education, and make people account. Everyone is complaining about that. In particular in coastal areas, fortunately we come from a coastal area, that we are not doing enough in terms of changing and transforming the branch of fisheries and the work that they're supposed to do. I'm very disappointed. I don't want to tell you guys today, I was very disappointed. And I'm very disappointed. Now she can say whatever she says, the department can say whatever it says, as long as Minister Tina Dumas doesn't come here and give us a vision on how we're going to change things around. That being said, last year to us, we're sitting here, all promises put here in front of us. The worst part of it, I want to insist, for the fact that a president of the country cannot be aware of the crisis, we have a minister that is supposed to account to a president, not doing a great duty. And not doing the duty that it's supposed to do and escalate a problem and raise the head of state. It's paramount to subordination. It's paramount to subordination to do that. And I'm not scared to say it. The president of the Republic of South Africa is not aware of this crisis. Not aware of this problem. Thank you.
Mr. Panda.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, we also heard in this presentation that the Afrikaner is going to be replaced, but we don't even have a plan to deal with the seven other ships. So I would have cold heart to hand a new Afrikaner to the Navy or anybody else. So in the interest of your pleaded warning to put us a way forward, I would like to make a recommendation. And that recommendation is that all the ships be removed from the Navy and a special purpose vehicle be created consisting of industry, SAMHSA and DAF, and hand the control of these vehicles to them and let them manage these vessels in the best interest of the future of the fishing industry. I think that as a committee could be a recommendation, or that's a recommendation I'm making. I'm looking for support for it. Thank you.
But that's what the department is doing. End of March, if I hear you very well, you're pulling the vessels out of Navy.
Yes, but they're not putting it in a special purpose vehicle. They are going to give it to a private company that built the boat. I say a special purpose vehicle which would have representation from industry, from SAMHSA, which is regulating authority, and from DAF. And then they decide and manage these ships. They decide who fixes. I have it on good authority that if these ships are taken away from the Navy, they can be in the water within a month, and they can resume their duties.
We'll get more details.
With a special purpose vehicle.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe I'll come with something different from what has been presented before us. But my Chairperson is with regards to the complaints out there that these small fisheries find it difficult even access to the offices of the department when maybe they need to collect their licenses. At times they are even given those licenses very late when it's only towards the closing season for going out to the seas. And I wanted just to check what the department is doing about it, because obviously it's disadvantaging the people who are take as subsistence fisheries or fishers, because they need to feed their families with regards to the licenses that they are awarded to them. Chairperson, again, I want to point out that there is a non-compliance among the fishers in the greatest threat to the sustainability of the fisheries resources, and at the moment the department is struggling to enforce the existing fisheries laws due to the thin research law enforcement officials. How much progress has the department made to address the expected capacity shortages that will enable it to serve the small-scale fisheries sector? Thanks.
Mr. Abram, Mama, please, Moscow.
Chair, we were advised some time ago that the patrolling of Ezemvelo, KZN Ezemvelo, that contract is not going to be renewed. I would like to have an update on what is the latest situation. Is there a replacement already, or what is currently in pipeline, and whether any patrolling is taking place along that coastline? Thank you, sir. And by whom?
I'm not satisfied with the explanation on new entrants, because I thought because rights are expiry. They have different dates of expiry. When they say new entrants, are they saying they are going to open anew for the new application to come in? Or that's why I wanted explanation concerning it. I did not hear it. That's why I'm still concerned and that I did not get it. Thank you, Chairperson.
I thought you would also make mention. One time we met, especially after Chairman's Town, there was an issue related to Smith Amanda having run down your vessels. And the question was asked about a request, which we never got any feedback on. Because the state in which the vessels before they were transferred to Smith Amanda, they were in good shape. But after having been with Smith Amanda, they were in bad shape. And somebody had and has to take a responsibility for fixing those vessels. And we never got any feedback to that effect. Mrs. Gigi making a point about revoking any licenses of anybody who shall have been caught doing wrong. A company called Kalahari Fisheries, on 3 consecutive years, having produced fraudulent tax clearance certificates. How much more can you not call that a criminal act that that company can still go on its business as usual?
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague, Chief Director Sasa Apia, will talk about the subsistence fishermen and the struggling to get their permits and the new entrants and the fronting. And I think the Kalahari issue is already with us. We're already investigating that one. But just to say on the vessels, when Smith Amandla was handing over to the Navy, they did get a salvaging company, an independent company.
Mrs. Abukran. What are you investigating when somebody shall have produced fraudulent tax clearance certificates? What is there to investigate in that?
Shall I let him respond now, Chairperson, for that one?
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, we remember that there was an investigation that was underway by SARS itself, as well as the Hawks. And I've had the opportunity to meet with Kalahari on the 14th of December, and I once again met with SARS last week, and for the first time that they have given us written confirmation to confirm that the number of certificates that have been identified are fraudulent in writing, and they've also given us their affidavits in that respect, and we have commenced with the process of taking legal action against Kalahari Fishing.
Does that not constitute a summary action?
It's a Section 28, Chairperson, that has to follow a certain legal process, which we have started that process.
Yes, Ms. Abra?
Yeah, I would like to know, when was the matter brought to their attention? When did they start discovering or inquiring or investigating whatever misdemeanor this particular grouping was involved with? And once they had that, what in the conditions of having granted them a fishing permit or whatever provides for you to withdraw it, and what did you do to immediately suspend it? Why didn't you suspend it immediately after the wrongdoing had been discovered?
Also, I just want to clear my mind. Is it proper for the department to investigate its own? I mean, how is the investigation going to be constituted?
Thanks, Chairperson. On the issue of Kalari, Chairperson, if we may recall those that were closely involved in the matter. The matter initially, when it started, it was not the matter of fraud. It was a matter of dispute amongst the right holders. And as we continuously resolved the dispute, it manifested into a whole different issue of fraud, where the right holders in question submitted a valid tax clearance certificate at face value to the department on continuous basis, whereas as a result of the dispute, half of the shareholders are disputing the validity of those certificates that looked legitimate on presentation to the department, of which were the basis that we were acting on. And then that is when the Hawks were called in and SARS in order to investigate the validity of the document that looked valid at face value. And it was only now that we have been given the confirmation from SARS that the documents are invalid. And also, as part of preventing the same to happen in future, arranged training between SARS and our officials that do receipt of this application in order to assist us to how to be able to identify fraudulent tax clearance certificates. But in the meantime, the process of Section 2018 Kalahari is underway, and it's just unfortunate you have two groupings within Kalahari that are in dispute, but it's an entity as a whole that is been found to have been involved in fraudulent activity. And at the moment, we have suspended any issuing of the permits for 2013. At the moment, there are still a legitimate right holding company. It's only that we have received confirmation last week that we have started the process of revoking the right or presenting to them that we have picked up that there's been a fraudulent activity and they must present in course to the department as to the reasons why their right should not be revoked, suspended or cancelled.
I think the message that also the chair wants to bring, one immediate action. You must tell us that the point is that, you see, open-handed answers that we have a legal process that overloaded. A legal process in South Africa, I'm used to legal processes from some other experience. It can take 2 to 3 years. We want action that, as we have press conferences, say, and because South Africans want to know, are you acting on this? I would like if you intervene. This press conference, we are able to say, would have finalized this issue within this period of time. I want to know, because come March, I want to, again, when I ask this question, I know that you have time frames. If you're managing a process, you know the targeted period that you want to have dealt with this period. Because we can't continue to have an institution that fraudulently fraud our government and the taxpayers' money. And then we don't know how we're going to deal. Because if yourself, you found your qualification, tomorrow in your department, you know, you would have been out. Now, we want this thing to know, the fraud at the same department, that action very quickly must be taken. And we must know when. Because you cannot tell us next week, the other week. We must know, because we must make you accountable. That's the point that the chairperson wants.
Thanks, Jefferson. The first action that we have taken was to immediately block issuing of the permits. And then, according to the Marine Living Resources Act, we need to present them in writing for them to show cause to the department within a period of 21 days as to why their right should not be revoked, suspended or cancelled. And then once they have responded, internally we will evaluate their reasons and then make a presentation to the minister to take action. And we should be able to complete that full process in roughly 2 to 3 months. And the anticipation, it's a common trend in fisheries that once such action is taken, they'll still take us to court to contest the decision that the minister has taken. And then that's how we anticipate that the process will outplay over time.
Let's hear the rest of the story.
Chairperson, there was also an issue that was raised by honourable member on the small scale fisheries or interim relief, to be exact, in terms of permit. And every now and then, because we are in constant engagement with rightholders, continuously trying to improve their conditions of operations. And every now and then, they come with new requests that deviates from their general conditions of operations. For example, they would want to be moved from one area to the other area. Or for example, they want the department to review the package of species that they have allocated to interim relief. And those kind of decisions, Chairperson, they do not take a week to decide on and implement. And when such requests come through, we continuously, from a resource management's point of view, consult with our colleagues from research to understand the biological implications of those changes. And as a result of those kind of delays, it has a bearing on the time that we should issue permits, particularly to the interim relief right holders. But all else being equal, I think we have been issuing permits and licenses for a number of years in order to be able for us to in advance plan and anticipate when exactly we want to issue permits. So because of those abnormalities that we find ourselves in some instances having a delay. And this kind of delay is only prevalent in the interim relief sector, because those are the guys that normally have a lot of requests in terms of amending their operations. And then regarding accommodation of new entrants. Chairperson, in 2005 or 2006, when rights were allocated, we had other fishing sectors that did not at all have new entrants. For example, the Hectro sector. There were absolutely new entrants. It was the same players wearing different shirts. And what we had discussed internally as a bunch and agreed in principle as to go through each individual fishing sector, and within that sector, look at the transformation profile of that particular sector, and see how or set targets or objectives as to how we can, one, accommodate new entrants, have a certain portion of the right specifically reserved for new players to come aboard, with the hope that that would aid in improving the transformation, as well as increase the foothold of SMMEs. So that's how we intend to have clear targets that we aggressively move towards meeting, which was not necessarily the case when rights were allocated in 2005. Thus, we ended up with some of the sectors that transformation targets being not predetermined or not having new players at all. And then in regarding fronting, Chairperson, the DCD has highlighted there's been a huge number of right transfers or requests to transfer rights that have come through to the department, some of which we have declined on the basis of realizing that they were tabletop exercises. And some of those that we also have picked up that the right holders, I mean the shareholders that have been indicated in those applications, either the right has exchanged hands long before the application was submitted to the department, and we also have impact on the process of revoking some of those rights, that we have able to pick up that the shareholder that have been reflected in those documents are not necessarily the exact shareholders. And yes, I think that was what I wanted to highlight, Chairperson.
Thank you. Chairperson, just the issue on the state of the vehicles when Smith and Marlow Marine handed it over to the Navy through a DAF, they did get a salvaging company to survey it for them and had some Lloyd's classification register, also all those things compiled. And I studied all those audit reports, and basically all the vessels were reported to be satisfactory, operational. None of them were reported as to be in excellent condition. And Afrikaner in particular was reported to be also satisfactory, operational, but they had a list of findings and recommendations which they felt needed to be dealt with. Actually, the company should have dealt with it before they handed it over. And that dealt with the engine, the hull, and stuff like that. So I think one can say with the Afrikaner, maybe because it's a very old vessel, it's difficult for them also to maintain it. But that's the only one I can say was not in a very good condition. But with specific areas being highlighted by their own surveyor who they brought on board to do it. Then the Navy also got the company Darman who manufactured most of them to do a survey. That one also shows that, you know, it's operational, fair, satisfactory. So, yeah. But no action was taken against them then. And this was done in, one was done in April, May, and the other one by Darman was done June, July last year. So, I don't know, one can still take action now.
Perhaps I could just add to that, that during the management process with Smith and Mandler, they would often bring issues to our notice about work that needed to be done on the vessels, bearing in mind that the Afrikaner was already close to 30 years old. It had been with Smith for about 10 years. In that period, we were always consulting about what work that needed to be done, work that could be done at a later stage, because as a vessel gets older, it gets more and more expensive to run, and you then need to manage it within your budget. So on an old vessel like that, where you're not spending vast amounts of money to keep it perfect, there are always some things that are that need attention. And it's just you're either spending a lot more money and keeping the vessels perfect, which is usually the approach that the Navy used to take. I don't know if they're still doing it. But with vessels that you are running for a long period of time and want to do it economically, you do what is critical first. And some things have to be left for later. You only have so much money to run them. We've had a budget that was not large enough to run those vessels for as much as we wanted to for several years now. The surveys that we do are only the critical ones. We had a whole list of other surveys that we should actually be doing that would be contributing to research, for example. And I'm sure that that the NCS would also like to do their patrols. Mr. Ntoba, I was going to say, sorry. Mr. Ntoba would also like to have done even more survey patrol, but you only have a budget that covers so much. So if you're running an old vessel, you're going to have some problems. And I think the Navy explained that as well. They were saying that the vessel was in far worse condition than they were prepared to accept. And one must bear in mind that they have different standards. Thank you.
Okay, you want to conclude?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. And I do appreciate the disappointment of the honourable members as to the fact that we didn't report so much more promising and more exact. But to some extent, we did request an extension of time because we only got the notice Friday morning. So I will admit the quality of our presentations is not as good as we would have liked it to be. If we had had the extra time that we requested, I'm sure we could have been more responsible and more professional in the way we prepared our presentations. But if the members will give us a chance and give us a follow-up date, where we can show you what have we implemented, especially in terms of the crisis plan for Afrikaner and the Zara Department, you know, the patrol and the research vessels. So, I do apologize, and I know my colleagues, they really would have wanted to be more decisive during last year. So, and the fact that they had many acting DDGs who, and I don't know why people do this when they are acting, they don't want to be decisive, they are afraid. So what result, these terrible things happen. The fact that the lady was not coping, did not have the courage to say so, and neither did we have the courage to go and tell them we're taking it back. When I told Chief of Navy we've come to take our ships, his face, you know, fell. He was so disappointed. But it was something that had to be done. So, Chairperson, I do apologize, and I know my colleagues feel as embarrassed as I do, but we appreciate your honesty and in expressing your anger. And I hope I haven't offended Mr. Van Dalen too much. I'd like to work together with him. I'm sure he's got the interests of the fish industry at heart. So, thanks, Chairperson.
Those are the issues. I take it we still have the program to adopt. What we shall do, we shall only allocate 15 minutes for this one, for everything, inclusive of feedbacks from the department. Last round, 1 minute at the most for each person.
Chairperson, I know we are not assassinated, but I'm concerned about the contract that was supposed to be signed by the department with the Chinese government on the buildings that was built in Harit Dam. I visited that area over our recess period, and the buildings have been finished in November last year, and they said that they are waiting for the Department of Agriculture DAS nationally to sign the contract. I would just, maybe if someone can give us clarity on that, what is the reason why it's not being signed. I don't know if the correct person is here, but I think they might be here that deals with that. And then, Chairperson, I would like to get the department also to give us a feedback on the proposal by my colleague, Honorable Van Dalen, if they could set up a special purpose vehicle for the development of this fishing vessels, and if that could be included, such a part of that proposal in their full briefing that we will receive on the later stage.
Okay, are we done? Okay, thank you for all of those hands that have been inquiring about a whole range of issues. I was also keen, which is the point I wanted to raise, just perhaps by way of conclusion, with the state of readiness on the part of the department, maybe just in conclusion, with amendment to the Marine Living Resource Fund and the small-scale fisheries policy expected for implementation, with this process now that is unfolding, whether or not we are going to meet the targets, the Marine Living Resource Fund is expected to come before us, I think sometime in September. Now, with all these processes unfolding on the reallocation, whether we shall indeed be on track, or we are on track in the processes towards both, you know, advertising and also processing and final allocation. Because the amendments, they're going to impact very much on this process. The implementation of the small scale fisheries policy also has a direct impact on those processes.
We now understand that we have on the one hand the patrol vessels,
and on the other, the research vessels. Now, is it the intention of the department to take the whole lot away from the Navy and to contract all these out? If the answer is yes, and I understand, if the answer is no, then can they send us a report on exactly what they want to do? Because, Chairperson, what is very crucial is that our waters are being fished by foreign vessels. You regularly read about these things. And we need to see that the patrolling of our waters is taken as priority number one. I would say even more important than research. Not that research is any lesser important. But if we could get that perhaps in writing, check exactly what they want to do, and if they can give us all their time frames, and let us see and hold them to whatever time frames they have put on paper. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Maybe let me start with the ships one first. We are taking the two big ones, the Sara Bartman, that's the patrol vessel, and the Afrikaner, the research one, out of there to Transnet Key 500, so we can get the two companies who made them to fix it there. The other vessels, which are smaller, we will leave there, because they're all made by Dahman, and Dahman is already working at the Navy, so there's no security risk, and those are smaller vessels. That was one of the hurdles the Navy had. There wasn't enough dry dock space to do all the repairs at the same time. So that will help. So the I can't remember the number now, but all the smaller vessels that we will leave there will be done by us. It's just that we needed to use their docking space or berthing space, whatever you call it. But we will still give you the more detailed report. But coming to the legislative program for the Marine Living Resources Act, there are so many pieces of legislation that Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries has a milestone program and a roadmap for all of them. And I noticed that we were right at the bottom of the schedule. Then when we put it to them that because we're doing the first set of long-term rights this year, that has to now be prioritized. So they have agreed to prioritize it. So, but we haven't yet agreed as to how they will fast-track it together with some service provider they have. So that, because we desperately need those changes in the Act to make it possible for us to be able to allocate more rights to the small scale and the subsistence farmers. Right now, that Act is a little bit currently state prohibiting. So that is the idea, to prioritize that Act in particular. I think I've covered it. Chief, just the one on the recommendation is, when Mr. Van Dalen made the recommendation, I had already recorded it. The what is it called? The special purpose vehicle. Maybe I can also just mention, although we didn't want to because Department of Transport is not here, there was a proposal, although just a verbal one, and I'm going to put it in writing, where they are looking at a SAMHSA, the African Marine, what is it again? Maritime Safety, yeah. Where they want to have a huge fleet management unit, but all the state vehicles, not necessarily fisheries vehicles only. Sorry, I'm getting tired. Sorry, Chief Curtin. They didn't come with special purpose vehicle. They wanted to have a separate unit where they would manage the entire fleet of the state. So, it's in such a green stage as yet, so that's why it wasn't worth it to mention it. We don't even have it in writing, so we could give it to our DG and interministerial and committees and so on to discuss it. But I have recorded it to look at it, though, as a special purpose vehicle, specifically for fisheries. So we'll discuss it and see how we can move with it.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The question, Honourable Member Stein, regarding the delays in the handover certificate, yes, of course, we did experience the delays, but it was because we also received late reports from the inspectors, because we have to receive certificates of compliance for electricity, for all these other issues regarding the building. But also the handover certificate had to be vetted by the senior state law advisors, but then it was signed last week by the Director General. Yes.
Okay, Mr. Van Dalen, cannot afford not to miss some.
No, Mr. Chairman, the special purpose vehicle is, would help in that procurement processes in the Navy and in the departments are very cumbersome, and it would get rid of that. I mean, if we want to go to war, we would actually have to put it out to tender and get three quotes. I mean, that's how bad it is. I mean, we are so hamstrung that if war breaks out, help us, please.
But one thing that I can assure you is that if any one of us might be thinking of taking our country in a war situation, you will certainly be met with the full might of aggression. Whilst you shall be thinking of quotations. Mr. Brown?
Question about the Zambello contract and what's happening there at the moment, that hasn't been responded. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, Chairperson, yes, Ezenvelo has been doing this job for us, the entire fisheries work, research, landings and monitoring, catches and so on, and inshore patrols. We've been doing that for a number of years and a very good job, and it's, I would say, half the cost if the state had to do it itself. And this is a public entity registered with the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the government structures there. So we had had a meeting with them, it was just a week ago actually, reviewing whether we should go out on tender, whether we should put a government notice in the government gazette. Is there any other public entities who want to compete or contest to replace Ezenvelo? Then we said, you know, if we go out on tender for a company to come and run their service for us, it will cost us a fortune. If we try to set up our own structures, it will also cost the state a fortune. But Ezenvelo is doing an excellent job for us, to be totally honest. We went and do an evaluation of their performance on all aspects of their work. So, and they really also pleaded for an opportunity to continue running the service. They said, just for the sake of, what can I say, openness, transparency, just rather advertise it, but rather advertise it as a government notice and more to compete with other public entities. It is a bit of a difficult one for us, so that's all I can say for now, perhaps.
I think it's important for members also to recognize that what we are contributing as a budget for Ezenvelo to do the work, it might be plus minus 25% of the entire operational budget that they are utilizing. The bulk of that is coming from the provincial budget contribution. So it's something that I think it's important that we take into account as we deal with Ezenvelo. Thank you.
Are they currently still doing jobs?
Yes, sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I could just add to what has been said, in our meeting last week with Ezenvelo, we agreed that the contract, the MOU, expires 31 March. We've agreed that we will extend it for a further 2 years from 1 April 2013. During a two-year period, we will embark on this review and government gazette notice to see whether there are any other service providers that could compete for that service. So in short, we're extending for a further 2 months to allow us that time. It's 2 years, sorry.
What shall happen, members, is that before we rise end of this term, we must find time to come together again on the issues that we are dealing with. In other words, before the 27th of March, so that we really go far in so far as, you know, dealing with you know, the bottom end of the issues that we're dealing with. We will also have to populate our correspondence such that it touches on the areas that are definite, warranting you know, specific responses, so that we are all, you know, assisted in so far as, you know, us being able to achieve what we want to achieve. That is not only ourselves, but all of us, because we always are of an impression that we all want to achieve a goal of bettering, you know, a life of that ordinary person. We all have to do all of this, mindful of number of factors. You have on one hand your minimum development goal that has its own targets, among others, alleviation of poverty. You also have a country that has got a National Development Plan Vision 2030 that is in keeping with your own IGGP that looks at both growing of the industry, whether the cash forest and fisheries, at the same time transforming those twin tasks. Now, these are the issues that we are guided by. So that whatever we do, we are informed. So that we are able, at the end of the day, you know, to achieve our set objectives. We will also have, that then will mean as we go through the task two of our program, which is the program itself, we take care of that in hindsight. I think those shall then have to be words that thank the department for considered presentations and submissions. And then looking forward to meeting again. We now have time, almost 30 minutes at the most, to go through the program itself and for us to adopt it so that it is taken through. Thanks once again, Mrs. DDG and your team. We can only trust that you're going to be there and finish your full term. We can see your hair is still black. And we all have an intention to keep it that way. Mr. Mkopa, when he came through, yeah, he had an afro. By now, he's got a bald head. What was that, Mr. Abra? You also have an inactor hidden somewhere. Thanks, Dr. Sting. May I request the PMG fellows not to sign us any records or whatever, you know, what we call the register. This is our meeting. It is not their meeting, so they cannot ask anybody to sign for registration here. All that they do is to see us who is here. At best, it's not proper. I don't know if there are still any of them here. Anyway, now here we have Doctor in front of ourselves. What? Can we then subject us to coming together and spend some more time like we are here now? And so we can do it differently next time, so that we populate our program before we go on recess. Yes, there are issues at times that are much more pressing, but those are exceptions. We do have the program, draft program, in front of ourselves, am I right? Okay, we are on the first page still, which is the 22nd of February. The 22nd of February talks to this coming Friday. This is an item that has been requested, as I said earlier on. Is that not the same item there? So that it is not broken through. OBP is part of the department, so it is department and the OVP that is briefing our committee on the challenges so that we don't duplicate. Mama?
I'm a little bit worried there. OVP and the department, I'm looking at the time and the day. Unless we, all of us, we we realized that we must come to work that day. Friday is a day, weekly day. I'm just worried about the Friday and the time. And to even though the OBP is under department, but the department will also be there.
The department certainly will be there. I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is whether shall we all be there or not. Yes, the department shall be there. We are scheduled on a Friday because of the fact that we don't have enough time. If you were to look at next week on the 5th, no, 26th, sorry. This 26th of, unless, Mama, you are saying, but you see the other challenge is that some of our members, they have other committees that they are attending to on a Wednesday. So that's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. As a result, we only have a Friday, because on a Thursday is caucus day, and on Wednesday it gets to be a bit of a challenge. That was informed, you know, that proposal for that specific day. Okay, can we quickly comment on that? 22nd February, which is Friday. In fact, it's an item that can take us until, give or take, around 11 o'clock. We may not be able to deal with that for the whole until 12:30 or 1 o'clock. 9:30 for until, running until 11 o'clock. Can I stop
them? Hey, can I suggest that instead of 9:30, can't we start at 9:30? We could then finish up by after 10, 11 o'clock. Rather than coming down, I would be working for you.
Aeroport is proposed instead of 9:30? So 8:30, so that we can finish earlier, and those connecting can go. Okay. Okay, we are agreed for 8:30 on that day. Okay, thanks. Otherwise, we find, moreover, that we're not going to be duplicating, we're not going to have OVP presenting and have the department presenting. There's one presentation here. It's from one department. We are all familiar with that item as to why. Are we all familiar? So that when we prepare ourselves, we're not just going to get into that meeting and just get there and listen. Is basically informed by a challenge that is there in our country of the availability of vaccines or lack thereof. Now, OVP is your state-owned entity, and there is specifically the mentioning being made about the blue tongue. There could be other related diseases that OP shall have to inform us about on the availability of those vaccines. So they may not be confirmed. As you stated there, it is mentioned as an example. So that's in a nutshell the issue. Okay, we're fine. And then 26th, which is Tuesday next week, the department on the third quarterly expenditure performance review, we're fine. Mrs. Stein?
Chair, I'm fine. I just wanted us to ask the department about this thing of the commander worms, or what's called army worms.
Why are they not here? I thought they would be here as well.
Hmm. because they must come and give us a report on that. It's a current crisis in the country, and we can't wait.
Bloodworms. In Northwest and Free State. In addition to that, nomination for the board on ARC. I did ask the department to enlighten us more on that one, whether how many names, and we also mentioning the fact that, you know, when we make such inputs as a committee, all we have to do at best, we simply just raise names and it ends there. And the names go and they never come back. We never get to hear what shall have transpired. Granted, the legislation as we speak now only allows us effectively to be, you know, a post office as it were. To an extent, you never get to know, to an extent also that you don't even get to see those people. When they come here, they come either it is the executive of any of those entities, no, we're calling the only the people from the department, your parliamentary liaison officer, your Duncan, and whoever else. Are there any of those that are here? We'll talk. They'll get us on the way. So we have such a challenge too, which calls so much for, I mean, this is another issue I'm sure the department might have commented on, the legislative review of a number of those entities. These are entities whose legislation dates back, you know, many, many years, like 80s, other 70s, other 90s, with the processes having been unfolding. So those are your 26th of February issues. I was just raising this, that we need more information about how many of those candidates.
Do you have any letter to clarify of this?
Do we have any correspondence, Nazora, on this ARC?
No, I haven't seen any correspondence, but this was tabled on the HEC on the 29th of January.
We did not receive any correspondence.
No, it wouldn't come to me, correspondence, if there's any. I think they sent it to the office of the speaker, who will refer to the committee.
And what is the deadline?
The deadline for the nominations is before the 20th of March.
We shall come back to members about the details on this particular one. Okay, the 5th of March is proposed there that we get detailed briefing by the department and the provincial department on the mechanization program. Provinces come up with their own policies, and these policies are different from one province to another. And also national department has also its own policy on the same issue. It is time now almost going past for plowing and planting, and a number of people in these provinces are suffering. So the intention there is to bring all of those people together with our counterparts in the committees in the respective provinces. So that's what is entailed on that day, 5th of March. 12th of March, if the... Okay, Mr. Bro.
I agree with you. There must be some form of synchronization. But I don't want to be a pessimist. As things stand at the moment, unfortunately, provincial departments have been very loath to come here and to be accountable to us. On the other hand, the budgets for providing these, for providing mechanization, I mean, it comes out of the national agriculture budget. which is then transferred to provinces. But yet there is no mechanism whereby we could have some or other form of oversight and accountability on the part of the provinces. As we speak now, Jack, there's one particular place where there's, I think, the mechanization, the implements that are part of there. They are part of there since September. It's past your plowing time. We are almost now at the harvesting time shortly. And those millions of rands are standing in the sun and they are busy losing value. So who's going to be accountable? I don't know, Chair. So it is one thing getting the department here. They will have to take responsibility. But I would suggest, Chair, that we also get the department, when inviting them, to tell them that we will also send out invitations to the provinces. But that they too must see to it, and they provide the money to them, transfers to them, that these departments from the provinces are here. If we can't get that done, Chair, it'll just be an exercise where National will come here and they'll tell you certain things. I hope to have some photographs taken at that particular place, and I want to come and present it here to them when they come. But the point, Chairperson, is that these people have refused in the past, some of them, I think majority of them, to be accountable to us. And I don't know whether there is a constitutional or legal mechanism. What I do know is that they do regularly interact with the NCOP. But they've always been very loath to come before us, and we need to have them here.
We're quite mindful of the fact that, including your local government, upon being called to account, or even you yourself having to go to those local government institutions, I can assure you, you struggle. They tell themselves that they are an independent sphere of governance. Equally with your provincial government, to an extent that they have, as provinces, they have their own accountability matters in place. They have their own, they account to provincial legislature. Committees that are accounted to. That's why we are also trying our best to get both the NCOP as well to be part of this, so that we are not hamstrung by that very issue you are raising. At times these departments in the provinces, they decide whether to come here or not.
When looking at the mechanization, why provinces are having their different policy, it's because of the failure of the national department. You can't give people some things without policy. I think if they have taken that into consideration, the national department, there must be a uniformity, a policy on this thing. Now, because they just give them and they live there, that's why these provinces, each one has its own policy. And it was not supposed to be like that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. For now, we're handling it in that fashion. That was the 5th of March, the 12th of March. Comments? Then we begin the process. On the 27th of February, we're having the budget speech, and then immediately thereafter, we're having all these departments coming through to us. And that process starts with the department itself on the 12th of March, consideration of the strategic plan and also the Department of Agriculture and its, the idea is to transfer this together. In other words, the Marine Living Resource Fund together with the department, because in the department when they present, they have all those programs. Among others, they have a fisheries so that we can have one flowing discussion. Okay, that would have been your 12th of March. And then immediately, having been briefed on the legislation itself, that is before us, we shall then have, I'm sure we also must have seen the advert, the weekend newspapers. Did you see? I saw it in the Sunday Times. In other words, this speaks to the 13th of March. 15th of March, which is on a Friday. The public is invited to comment and submit either by writing or orally for the 13th and then deliberations, you know, on that bill on the 15th of March is on a Friday. We may also have to take the time early for earlier than that 9:30. Yeah, for that Friday. I guess let's take it as a practice that whenever we meet on a Friday, we meet at 8:30. We find with that. Okay. And then on the 19th, it is proposed that we have a joint session with Labour Committee on the farm workers. It talks there of the Western Cape, but this is general farm workers' situation. But of course, where it really got a spark was in Western Cape. And then on the same day in the afternoon, because it's committee week during that week. Well, either it is committee week, or even if it is not committee week, usually when you have a legislation before you, Parliament does give you the time, that opportunity. Mama?
That's just a smaller than a concern. Because we got on the 19th, I'm looking at the venue. Is this venue big enough to accommodate us and another committee? If it's not, so that...
Can we look into that, Mama? Can we look at alternatives? One of the other reasons why we're starting at that 9:30, it is because some of us attend some 8:30 meeting in the morning, the strategy. That's just generally the reasoning behind that, unless members can continue that joint later. The point is taken. Where were we? We are on the 19th, which is joint labor, and also on the adoption of the fertilizer and feeds bill. Okay, fine. 20th is on a Wednesday. It is a clustering of those entities, Agriculture Marketing Council and PPECD. Straightforward, it's budget time. 26th, which is on Tuesday, It's ARC, OVP, and Veterinary Council. Again, these are all entities that speak to each other. Yeah. Yeah, because of the many entities that are dealing with. Mrs. Ting?
Chair, there would be plenaries, but what you said is that we asked the committee, whatever, if we can continue, because I know that in the past they did allow us, if there's nothing from our portfolio that needs to be handled in the afternoon, so there would be plenaries, but we will ask for a special permission. I know that other committee always sits in the afternoon if they must finish something before a certain time.
According to this program that I have here, which is NA parliamentary program, it says during that week, it's committee week, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, all of that week is actually committee week. Yeah, that's what this program says. And then, and then 20th, huh. Oh yeah, it's a half a day, 20th, because afternoon it is, the 19th of March is debate on human rights day, second reading, and so on. So that's the day that we are requesting take through that that bill for adoption, but I'm sure there shouldn't be any trains mentioned on that one. Okay, we have come to the 27th of March. Any comments? Also, all day. It talks to Nakh and all the issues that get related to Nakh. It's straightforward. Just the last point I want to talk about. We are still struggling. The one part of the struggle is over. The response that we got from the speaker related to our study tour, in terms of study tour. One is we have a legislation before us, which is now done away with. So that was one excuse. Another excuse was we cannot go to Brazil because everybody has been to Brazil, and let alone the fact that, you know, when I asked them a question as to whether has there been any agriculture committee going there or not, and they couldn't answer. But the only thing that they are working on is that our diplomats out there, they got a word from the Brazilian parliament and government saying they have had enough of South African members of parliament going there to Brazil, so to speak. Despite the fact that, you know, you are impressing on them to say the department is talking to us about zero hunger program. It is being implemented in Brazil. We have every reason to go there. Moreover, you're going to Chile. On your way to Chile, you cannot go direct. You go via Brazil. And you're not spending extra money. You know, same region, same cost, drivers, for your accommodation, you know, local transportation. But we are at that point now where, having been talking to the House Chair, you know, it's seriously reconsidering the view. So we're trying to work towards making use of that restart time, April, for the study tour. It's not an easy one. A letter from the Speaker was saying a number of committees that have been declined included also ours. There are a few others. Another one was going to Cuba, I can't remember the other one, But that has been the response from the speaker. So the House Chair is going to engage with the speaker on this one. I just thought, let me just update members on that one. There has also been some invitations as well. There is one from NERPO. They're inviting all of us on the other date, 28th to the 3rd of March, 28th of to the 28th to the next to Kunzaun. It's a program. I'm sure copies can be made. The department also, as part of our program, they are coming up with a proposal, consultation process on the proposed meat inspection service in South Africa. As part of the consultative process, the department wishes to brief the committee on the subject. Due to time constraints, the department requests such a briefing to take place on the 26th of February. February is the briefing by the department on the third quarterly expense and performance. But that is one other invitation. There's another invitation from Grain South Africa, which we have never attended to. Grain South Africa has got its own congress. In Bethlehem, eh? Portugal. Where is Bethlehem? In my mind. What's the date again? I have it somewhere. There you go. They have sent a final reminder. 6th of March. Very interesting subject there. Supply and demand. A discussion to be led on the demand side by Professor Marcos Fabio Neves of the University of São Paulo in Brazil. And on the supply side by the DG of Rural Development and Land Reform, Tutuzi Shaban. So those are the main issues for Grain South Africa. And then for NERPO, there you're going to have MEC from the Eastern Cape, the minister herself also. I can't remember the other one. I think also Johan Muller, if I'm not mistaken. Now those are the other invitations, you know, that are there. There is no indication. Usually what Parliament does, as and when we are invited, Parliament refuses for any other person else to sponsor us with either travel or accommodation because of its own protocols. Parliament always wishes to cover those costs itself. Because, you know, among those things that Parliament, when I was listening to that motivation, it was saying, you know, it is trying to avoid any conflict of interest wherein anybody can bite us, wanting to pay for us. At the same time, those people, at one point or another, they might wish to come for favors. So to avoid any of those things, we should come clean. So those are the few invitations that have since come by. Comments quickly on the 26th of February, if you can assist us, David, and the urgency of the meat inspection service and consultation.
Actually, I don't have details of that.
Okay. The department seemingly is quite pressed with time and urgency expressed for it to come before us on this one, which talks directly to our program, because on that same day, the 26th of February, we're having that third quarterly performance review. No idea at all. Perhaps we should allow them perhaps for an hour, and then we take the rest. We should allow the department if it is to be pressed so much as expressed in this correspondence. In the afternoon, I don't think there's any thing. 26th is, plenary, member statement, second reading of special planning, land use management, and also the second reading debate on Commission of Gender Equality and committee report. That's what is in the Tuesday.
Yeah, Wednesday you've got the budget. Today on the 26th, then I suggest they would allow us to set the 3:30 o'clock for 6:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, let's work on that plan. Okay, members, I think we have come to the end of our session for today.
I just wanted to check with you. On the 27th, we will still remember that we promised in Mecca that also stakeholders shall be invited to this meeting. And I don't want us to lose sight of that, because that's what you said. And I'm worried about the venue. I think they should look for the better venue. Thank you.
Yeah, moreover, that the number of committees, I'm sure by that time shall be gone. Thanks for that. Maybe not Banyasana. Did I mention that Ukakaza is off sick, has been booked off? And then Unkanyiso is a committee secretary for, what do you call that, private members bill or legislation. So he's literally here on a catch-up basis.
Is there any way to convey to Altusila our best wishes?
Thanks, but the meeting stands adjourned.
The one which we have just been amending, can we then move for adoption any mover and any seconder? We are a quorum, the seven of us. Okay, once more.
I move for adoption of a program.
Thank you. Any second?
Second, I second the mover.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I guess that's long. Thank you very much.